On the morning of his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ stood before Pontius Pilate, being interrogated as to whether he should be crucified or not in response to the desires of the Jews. And he was talking about his kingdom, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate seized upon the words of Jesus in a kind of, I don't know whether it was Greek or Roman or anything else, it kind of came out, "Aha! Art thou a king then?" he asked Jesus. To which Jesus responded, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." A claim to the uniqueness of the religious claims of Jesus Christ. Pilate, seizing upon that, said, "What is truth?" A legitimate question. For there are countless claims as to how one should live his life. Countless claims to an infinite or some type of deity that was to be worshipped, and claims that were conflicting in the world in which Pilate lived and still with us to this very day. And you cannot have two conflicting truths. At least one of them has to be a lie, and possibly both. So the question that Pilate asked, "What is truth?" was a legitimate question to ask. There was only one problem with it. It says here, "And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews." He didn't hang around for the answer. I wanted to address the subject of what is truth tonight. A couple of Sunday mornings ago, in first of the three messages on problem solving in the marriage relationship, on communication, I stated that truth, by definition, is that which agrees to reality. If I say it's sunny out right now, is that truth? Everyone's shaking their head, "No, actually it is. It's just above the clouds." But the reality is that we're living below the clouds. And what I was inferring by it is, in reference to us, it's sunny. That's how you understood what I was saying. And while technically I may have spoken truth, what I was communicating was not truth. Tonight I want to add, not to the definition as much of what truth is, as the explanation or just expand on the definition a little bit. And this is what I'm going to say truth is. Truth is the language of a changed person that is to be proclaimed by all to all for the profit of all. Now, our text this evening in our study of Ephesians chapter 4 is verse 25. So I'll have you turn there. And this basically, that definition that I have given you is the outline of my message for tonight. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That's the text for tonight. Three things that are here that are found in my little definition. Truth is the language of a changed person. Now, by changed person, I mean a person who has been changed by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A redeemed person, a saved person, a born-again person. Before I defend that, I want to give you a little grammar background of verse 25. The verb "putting away" that's found here is the exact same verb that's found in verse 22, where it says that you put off. Why they translated put off in one place and put away in another is beyond me. It's the exact same verb. The idea, though, is basically the context where he's talking about the idea of changing clothes, where you're taking something off yourself, but you're actually taking something, and when you put it off, you're putting it away. And that's really the basic meaning of this verb. What's interesting, though, about this verb is that in verse 25, it is an aorist participle. That just is fascinating. In the Greek grammar, an aorist participle is a verb that happens prior to the action of the main verb. The main verb here is to speak truth. So the action that is taking place in order is putting away lying, consequently speaking truth. That's the order of the things. Greek grammar would translate it this way: after putting away lying, speak truth. Now, an aorist participle also indicates an activity that happens in a singular act. So it's kind of a once and for all type of action. Okay, I am no longer going to do this. From here on out, I'm going to do something different. That's the idea here. What is also very interesting in the Greek grammar here is the translation of the word lying. The Greek grammar literally says, wherefore, after putting away the lie. It doesn't say lying, it says putting away the lie. Speak truth. What is the lie? Well, first point in our thing here is truth is set in opposition to the lie. So we better understand what the lie is, and then we can understand what truth is. Keep your finger here in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over a handful of pages to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Thessalonican church had received a bogus letter, supposedly from the Apostle Paul, but it wasn't, stating that somehow they missed the rapture and they were now in the tribulation times. And Paul was writing to assure them that that simply wasn't the case. For he says a number of things must happen first. First of all, in order for the tribulation period to start, the Antichrist must be revealed. And in order for the Antichrist to be revealed, the one who is restraining evil must be withdrawn. Now, I believe the one who is restraining evil there is the Holy Spirit working through the agency of the church. Therefore, the church must be gone. The Holy Spirit never himself leaves. But nonetheless, when those things happen, then the tribulation begins. Look at verse 9. Even him who's coming, and this is speaking of the Antichrist, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Here's truth is associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for this cause, because they wouldn't, here are people that are left behind that are following after the Antichrist because they had heard the truth and refused the truth. Because of that, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe. King James has a lie, but the Greek text has literally the lie. Well, what's the lie? The lie here, again, is also set in opposition to the truth, but truth is associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lie, then, is anything that is contrary to the gospel. Think along with me for a moment or two of what that might consist of. First of all, the gospel is a message concerning God Himself. Well, the lie then would be God does not exist. Because if you don't have a God, you can't have a gospel. So God doesn't exist. Possibly the lie could consist of, well, God did exist, but God has died. That was a theology that began in the 1960s and lasted about 10 seconds. Because everyone said, you got to be nuts. But nonetheless, there were a few that followed after that. He was a figment of, or he existed because people allowed him to exist, but then because the world kind of turned against him, he ceased to exist. The lie could be that God exists, but because he's so far out there, nobody can know who he is. He's removed from us. He's distant from us. He's unknowable. And consequently, your conception of God is your conception of God, and my conception of God is my conception of God, and, well, that's just the way it is. God is a God who has made himself known unto us, and he's a God purely of love. There is no justice or judgmental aspect of God. He just loves everybody. And in eternity, we're all going to be gathered round the campfire, roasting marshmallows and singing Kumbaya. God is a God that is out there, but he's sitting on a throne with lightning bolts in his hand, just waiting to judge sin, and you better toe the line. And he really doesn't care about you. That's a lie. The message of the gospel begins with God. It deals with the condition of man. Man is a pretty good person. Man is self-sufficient. Man doesn't need God. Inside of man, there's a spark of divinity. All you have to do is fan the flame or fan the spark, and it'll grow into a flame, and we'll all become gods. Mormonism states that Jesus Christ was once a man who became a God. And if we follow after him, we'll do the same thing. But man's a pretty good character. Life. The gospel deals with life. This is all there is to life. You exist for a while, and everything that is here is real, and when life comes to an end, that's it. You cease to exist. There's no afterlife. There's no heaven. There's no hell. That's what John Lennon sang about. Imagine all the people living life the way they should. No heaven above us. No hell below us. I know I didn't quote the lyrics exactly correct, but that was the essence of what he was saying. And I said, I don't want to imagine a world like that. But the gospel deals with life. It deals with death, the death of a Savior. These are all things that can be part of the lie. Well, put away the lie. Put away everything that's false about God. Put away everything that's false about man. Put away everything that's false about life and living. Put away everything that's false about God's salvation and speak the truth. What is the truth? Everything that is true about God, everything that is true about man, everything that is true about life, that is true about salvation. Speaking the truth in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, is not someone's conjecture who's going to win the Stanley Cup or anything else along those lines, who's going to be the best president in history or anything along those lines. It's not what the best food is. It's not what the greatest color is or anything along those lines. Speaking the truth is speaking a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Putting away that which is false about God, man, and life and salvation, speak the truth. Who's supposed to do that? Look at the middle of the verse. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man. That is the responsibility of every person. Now, context dictates that every person here is every Christian person. He's not writing to the world at large. He's writing to a group of Christians. For it is impossible for the unsaved world to speak the truth about God. They don't know who He is. It is impossible for the unsaved world to speak the truth about salvation because they don't know what salvation is. Obviously, he's speaking here in context of every Christian. Unless you have an exemption. You've gotten a letter, specific letter from God, postmarked in heaven, saying you don't have to communicate the gospel to anyone. Anyone have that letter? Some of us can do that easier than others. Some of us can do that more effectively than others. Some of us struggle doing that. I am not one who can do that, to be quite honest, with great effectiveness. Evangelism is a spiritual gift. By the way, you said this morning in Sunday school that I have an exciting lesson, a series of lessons coming up, and I'm going, I wonder what he's talking about. We will be dealing with the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we will get into the subject of the distribution of spiritual gifts. And one of the spiritual gifts is found here, in fact, we touched upon it in chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some evangelists. And evangelists are people, among other things, who have the ability to communicate the gospel with effectiveness. Paul wrote to Timothy, though, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Apparently, Timothy did not have that gift. But that did not excuse him from doing the work of an evangelist. My gift is not in, believe it or not, leading people to Christ. My gift seems to be more in the discipling of people who have been led to Christ. I had a friend in Bible college who had the gift of an evangelist. The young man was saved in a prison ministry. And just his heart was totally changed for the glory of God. And I mean, it was broken in smithereens by the gospel, and it became very tender. And every summer, he would go out, go back to the prisons, and evangelize inmates. And he would come back in the fall, and one of the first chapel sessions that we would have is, what did you do with your summer vacation? What ministries were you involved in? And this young man would get up, and he would tell about how he went to this prison and he led so many people to Christ there and this one. And usually every summer he led about 30 or 40 people to Christ. I don't know in the course of my entire Christian life if I've led 30 or 40 people to Christ. Maybe I have, I don't know. This fellow couldn't preach his way out of a paper bag. That wasn't his gift. He could lead people to Christ. Well, I don't have that gift, so I guess I shouldn't speak. Well, no, that's not what the text says. And speak every man truth. By the way, the verb speak there, an imperative verb, is in a present tense, which means keep on speaking, never stop speaking. Over and over and over and over and over again. To whom? To his neighbor. Remember the story in Luke chapter 10 of the young man that came to Christ and asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord asked him, well, what do the Scriptures say? And he responded with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, you got it right on the money there. You do that and you will live. And the young man, willing to justify himself, Luke says, ask the question, who is my neighbor? And the answer that the Lord gave was Mr. Rogers. Now, that's the answer that we would give. Who was the Mr. Rogers type of neighbor? A person that you liked, a person that you could easily associate with, had common interests or abilities or gifts, lived in the same geographical area, spoke the same language, that type of thing. That's what we consider our neighbor. I'll do good to a person who I can get along with, but that's the limitations of who I have to love. And he tells the story of the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite coming across this poor guy who was beaten up along the side of the road. And he asked the question, who then is the neighbor? And it was the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan. Speak the truth continually, each one of you, to your neighbor. Let me ask this question, put it in the negative. Who shouldn't you tell the gospel to? And the answer is, there isn't anyone that I have an exception for. Third question. The third point here. Why? Other than, well, that's just a commandment. For we are members one of another. What we say affects not only ourselves, but the body of Christ and the world. Obviously, speaking to the unsaved, the gospel of Jesus Christ presents the opportunity for them coming to know the Lord as Savior. That's a good thing. Yes? Yes? Please, someone say yes! Thank you! Oh, man, I was getting my resume together to look for another ministry there for a minute. People don't want to speak the word to anybody else, or no, that's not the case. Obviously, preaching to the unsaved and sharing the gospel with them is the greatest thing that can happen in their life, because it was the greatest thing that happened in your life. Yes? Thank you, you're catching on. Is preaching the gospel to saved people a profitable thing? I'm going to ask you to be honest. Raise your hand if you've never had any doubts about the claims of Christianity. Wow, what a bunch of unbelievers. I'll be honest with you. When we go shopping, Carol and I, there are times that we will divide and conquer. Because I just love spending time shopping. Understand, guy shopping is, I know what I want, there it is, I see it, I buy it, let's go home. That's guy shopping. Women shopping is, oh, I like that, that's what I need. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. And all the men said, uh-huh. Yep. Sometimes we divide and conquer so that I can get home in a reasonable amount of time. And I say, I'm going to go over here and get this, and I'll meet up with you in such and such an aisle. And I come back to such and such an aisle, and she's not there. And I look at the next aisle over, and she's not there. And I look at the next aisle over, and she's not there. And I think, did the rapture happen and I got left behind? That has happened more than once. And I come back to, no, you've trusted Christ as Savior. And I have to tell myself to overcome my doubts. We all doubt. So declaring to you the truth of the gospel over and over and over again, even though you know it, is a good thing. It's profitable to you. And as I do it, it becomes profitable to me. because it removes my doubts too. Truth is the language of a redeemed person, a changed person, concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed by all, to all, for the profit of all. Are you a truthful person? Father, give us opportunity tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and however many days are left for each and every one of us individually or collectively upon this earth to speak truth to our neighbors. Lord, you are the one who takes the truth and applies it to hearts. But unless we speak, there's nothing to apply. Lord, we look for the Lord of the harvest to produce great fruit. Help us to plant good seed. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.